So, part one, the 10 precepts collectively. Section one, the relation between refuges and precepts. The three refuges, or the three jewels, are, of course, the Buddha, or enlightened one, the Dharma, or teaching of the way to enlightenment, and the Sangha, or spiritual community, of those following the way to enlightenment, especially those who have attained to the higher, transcendental stages of spiritual progress, from which recession is not possible. One goes for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, or, in more contemporary idiom, commits oneself to them when one decides that to attain enlightenment is the most important thing in human life, and when one acts or does one's best to act in accordance with that decision. This means organizing one's entire life in all its different aspects in such a way as to subserve the attainment of enlightenment. It means placing the ideal of enlightenment, placing the Buddha, which Buddha one can oneself become, at the center of one's personal mandala and arranging one's different interests and activities in such a way that they are placed nearer to or farther away from the center of the mandala, in accordance with the degree to which they help or hinder the attainment of enlightenment. Interests and activities which are opposed to the ideal of enlightenment should, of course, be banished from the mandala. Going for refuge is the fundamental Buddhist act. It is what makes one a Buddhist, a follower of the Dharma, a Dharmachari or Dharmacharini. It is what makes one a member of the Sangha. The going for refuge is what, above all else, one has in common with other Buddhists. In other words, the going for refuge is the highest common factor of Buddhism. Unfortunately, in many parts of the Buddhist world, the going for refuge has long been regarded as the lowest common denominator of Buddhism, rather than as the highest common factor, an undervaluation which was one of the main reasons behind the formation of the Western Buddhist order. If there is any lowest common denominator in Buddhism, it is, one might say, the 5 or the 8 or the 10 precepts, which, on ceremonial occasions, one takes from one's preceptor immediately after going for refuge. Again, unfortunately, it is the observance of these 5 or 8 or 10 precepts, rather than the threefold going for refuge, that has come to be regarded as the highest common factor, instead of as the lowest common denominator of Buddhism, with the result that the Buddhist community has tended to be divided by the fact that some of its members observed a lesser and some a greater number of precepts, generally 5 in the case of the laity, and a total of 227 or 250 in the case of the monks, rather than united by the fact that they all went for refuge to the same Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Without understanding the supreme importance of the going for refuge as the central act of the Buddhist life, it is quite impossible to understand the true nature of the relation between the refuges and the precepts. This principle holds good regardless of the actual number of precepts one undertakes to observe. The relation between refuges and precepts is not merely external. It is not that, having gone for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, one now undertakes, in addition to that, to observe the 5 or the 8 or the 10 or any other particular number of precepts. It is not that when, on ceremonial occasions, one recites first the going for refuge formula and then immediately afterwards the precept acceptance formula, it is not that one recites them in this order for purely historical reasons, so to speak, and that had things turned out differently, one might just as well have been reciting them in the reverse order. The relation between one's going for refuge and one's observance of the precepts is an organic one. Observance of the precepts being as much an expression of going for refuge as the flower is an expression of the seed, or his oeuvre an expression of the writer or artist. In a sense, the going for refuge and the observance of the precepts are parts of a single process of spiritual life and growth. When one places the Buddha, that is to say, places the spiritual ideal at the center of one's personal mandala, a radical reorganization of the contents of that mandala naturally follows. If no such reorganization follows, then one's placing of the Buddha at the center of one's mandala has been purely nominal, or perhaps what one has placed there is not really the Buddha at all. The placing of the Buddha at the center of one's personal mandala corresponds to the going for refuge. The radical reorganization of the contents of that mandala corresponds to the observance of the precepts. Just as the placing of the Buddha at the center of the mandala must be followed by a radical reorganization of the contents of the mandala, so effective going for refuge must be followed by the observance of the precepts as its natural consequence. That is to say, as the prolongation of the act of going for refuge itself into every aspect of one's existence. Going for refuge, or commitment to the three jewels, is one's lifeblood as a Buddhist. Observance of the precepts represents the circulation of that blood through every fiber of one's being. By its very nature, blood must circulate. If it does not circulate, this means that the organism to which it belongs is dead, and that the blood itself, stagnating, will soon cease to be blood. Similarly, by its very nature, the going for refuge must find expression in the observance of the precepts. If it does not find such expression, this means that as a Buddhist, one is virtually dead, and that the going for refuge itself, becoming more and more mechanical, will soon cease to be effectively such. It is because the going for refuge must find expression in the total transformation of the individual, both in himself and in his relations with other people, and because this total transformation is represented more adequately by the 10 precepts than by any other set of precepts, that in the Western Buddhist order we not only go for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha, but also undertake to observe the 10 precepts rather than the 5 or the 8 or any other specific number of precepts. To the topic of the 10 precepts and total transformation we must now therefore turn. Before we do so, however, let me briefly remind you of what I have called the canonical sources of the 10 precepts. Buddhist friends outside the FWBO have been known to doubt whether the 10 precepts observed by members of the Western Buddhist order were actually taught by the Buddha, and whether they are anywhere to be found in the Buddhist scriptures, and it therefore behoves us to be sure of our ground.